time in God's hands. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have this morning to wake up and to come here to worship you, to glorify your name, to meditate in your word, and to pray for each other. Thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity that to live in a country where we have this freedom to openly confess and declare that we are believers, that we are yours, and that we glorify your name. I'm just praying that in this time you can help us to understand the couple of verses that we are going to meditate from the scripture, that it can be an encouragement to our lives, and that we can correct the things that maybe we are not doing correctly. I'm just praying that you can help me to communicate your word, and that the Holy Spirit will be talking to the life of everyone that is here in this morning. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice, and thank you for the hope that we have that someday we're going to see Him, and we're going to rejoice in Him and with Him forever. I'm praying all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, again, good morning to everyone. Thank you for the opportunity that you share and extend to me to express and try to communicate a couple of verses from the scripture this morning. It is a privilege, but it's also a huge responsibility, knowing that we are talking and we are expressing and we're trying to put in human words something that is eternal, that is God's word. So I just try to remind you that when you study the Bible, just remember, it's not any other book. It's not like a magazine. It's not like the sports section. It is God's word, and we need to be reverent, and we need to have like this correct attitude to the scripture. So I just try to remind you that we are studying and reading something that is God's word. So this morning I'm going to continue meditating in the book of Philippians. For me, this is one of my favorite books to study. There is a lot of things, and like we talked last time, this is a book that I try to study not just in the point of view of joy, even though you see that there is joy in all the scripture. I like to see that Paul is trying to express and to talk about the person of Jesus Christ. And if you think about that, in every single chapter, you see something about our Lord Jesus in every single chapter. Yeah, it has joy, but joy is in all the New Testament and all the writings in the New Testament. You will find joy and why we need to be joyful. And this is also something amazing, because the apostle is going to put the believer as an example to the world. And this is something that is really amazing, because sometimes the church, some churches or in our Christian life, we try to imitate and try to take things from the world. And the teaching of the Philippians is not like that. You and me are called to be an example to the world. We don't need to take the example from the world and put it in the church. We are called to be an example to the world, how to live the Christian life, how to have joy in the middle of in any circumstance. And Paul is in prison, and he is praying, and he is committed to pray with gratitude for the church of Philippians, for the testimony, for the grace of God in their lives, and for the way that they were committed to preach the gospel, defending and confirming the gospel in their environment. Isn't that amazing? That's this epistle. And also something that is really amazing is like in all these writings, in these chapters, in these four chapters, you will never see words of depression. Paul is always encouraging others in the middle of the prison, encouraging others to live their Christian life with gratitude, praying. From the beginning, we find joy, yes, flowing in every word of the apostle, expressing and communicating the words of God, because this is an inspired writing. Paul started the writing of this chapter like any other chapter, any other writing with a classic greeting, and immediately he expresses his gratitude for the work of the grace of the Philippians. But this morning, we are going to continue meditating, especially in the deep love of the apostle for this church. It's really important also, and last time we remember that we need to encourage each other, knowing that God is doing a work in our lives. And He's going to complete that work. And, yeah, I mean, sometimes you will see me and you say, hey, Jose, I don't think he's a real believer. He has, like, a lot of miseries. I can see them. His wife can see them. And, man, this guy is probably, he's not even a believer. But just remember, God is doing a work in your life and in my life, and He's going to complete it. That's what chapter 1, verse 7 said. But this morning, I want to meditate in the love of the apostle for this church. And we are going to read verses 8 and 9 from chapter 1 of Philippians. And I will ask you to stand up together so we can read God's word. I have another version, so I'm just going to read it, and you just follow with your eyes, okay? It said, verses 8 and 9. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Please, you may be seated. So we are going to study these two verses really fast. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but it's amazing what we can learn from these two verses. First, we are going to see a sincere love of the apostle. He said, "For God is my witness." This is a Paul affirmation, and this is not just like a easy formula or some nice words that he's using to try to sound nice. He is basically putting God as a witness. It's like he's saying, God is my witness. And if we can bring him here, he is going to be my witness that I'm loving you all. And the question for me this morning, can you put God as a witness that you love each other this morning? Do you have that authority from the Scripture and from the Holy Spirit to say, look, God is my witness that I love you in a spiritual way, all of you? This is talking about a real expression of love. 1 John chapter 3:18 said, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. God, as a witness of the truth that He's talking, like an oath, with all the consequences from this kind of oath. The apostle used a similar expression in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, when he said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I mention you. Do you understand this? The apostle is putting God as a witness. Philippians, I love you. And it's not just my words. It's not just like my actions. God is my actual witness that I'm loving you in this way. It's a sincere love. My dear brother and sister, we are here to love each other. I'm sorry. I know that maybe I'm not the pleasest person to love. I have a lot of defects. I have an accent. I have another color of skin. I'm short. I use glasses. But with all those wrong things that I have and that you can see and that they're obvious, I'm not trying to hide them. Well, I'm trying to hide wearing a suit so you don't see everything. But you know what? The Apostle Paul is asking you and is telling you need to be able to put God as a witness in the way that you love each other. And I need to confess something this morning. I can't do that. I know that I'm not loving in the way that the Bible is asking me to love. a sensitive love. Paul loves all the believers. The verb that he's using here in my translation, it said yearn. I think the King James said long for. It's the expressing the idea of to desire earnestly, to long for, a deep desire, love. The apostle Paul longs for and desires the company and presence of the believers from Philippi. My dear brother, I hope that you wake up this morning saying, yes, I'm going to see Pastor Jim. Yes, I'm going to see Sister Barbara, everyone in this church, and your heart has this desire and say, I'm longing for this all week. I've been working, I've been living in the middle of chaos, and today, on Sunday, my spirit had this desire, deep desire of love, to have fellowship with other believers. Is that our attitude that we had this morning when we wake up? And you were putting the tag, oh, I really don't want to see Jose. Man, this guy, he's kind of weird and he doesn't know how to speak English. I don't know what he's doing. How I yearn for you all. You see, this is includes everyone. It's easy to love the ones that we have like a lot of things in common, right? And I like the guys that love soccer. Well, you don't like soccer, so I'm not talking to you. You see, Paul is talking, I really have a desire to be with you guys every day. Because with you, with the passion that you have to share the gospel, to honor and glorify God, that's the people that I want to be surrounded. They were the spiritual kids, and he felt this affection for them. Paul even compared himself with a nursing mother in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. This is not a selective love. This is a full and complete love. It includes all the believers. The most sad things that I can see in a church is that kind of selective love. A group of people that they have fellowship and love and laugh, and the couple that you never talk to. Is that a healthy church? How I yearn for you all. With what? With the affection of Christ Jesus, the perfect love. This love is with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul is identifying himself with Jesus, and he loves the way that Jesus loves. And the apostle had to come so close to the heart of his Lord that he could feel his heartbeat, feel the vibration of love, as is the love and compassion of Jesus was beating in his own entrails. The love of the apostle is supernatural and corresponds to the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. The love of Christ enables every believer to love everyone, even the most pitiful and despicable member of the church. My dear brother and sister, there is no excuse for you to love me. I don't have any excuse to don't love you. The Holy Spirit put this love that comes from Christ in my heart if I'm a true believer. So today, my dear brother and sister, I don't have an excuse to don't love you. You don't have an excuse. You need to be loving me. Everyone, all of the members of this church, we need to be in love and love each other. Amen. You know what? When you can love someone, you need to consider if you are a true believer or not. The love of God was poured in your heart so you can love me and you can love others. With all my miseries. And we're going to continue talking. It's not this kind of love that Paul is talking. It's like, oh yeah, you're a sinner, whatever. Let's hug each other and have fellowship and eat donuts. It's not that kind of love. Also, the love that is in the scripture is the love that is going to sometimes going to point the miseries and say, okay, look, okay, yeah, you are like that, but you shouldn't be rejoicing in all those things that you're doing. The love, I'm sorry, the affections of the apostle come from the deep love of Christ for his people. My dear brother, if you understand how much Christ loves you and me, you will be able to love everyone. If you really understand the deepest love of Christ, that he came to the earth, he took a human body, he walked in our world, suffered everything, he died on the cross, he gave his own life, and he resurrected, and now we have a living hope. All that kind of love, it's expressed to every one of you, of us that are here. Do you understand that? If you understand that, man, it's really easy to love. The love towards the believers is an evidence of the new birth, according to 1 John 3:14. And there is a solemn warning in 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11. Whoever said he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The sincere love is a consequence of an identification with Christ. In this same chapter 2, verse 6, in 1 John, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Are you loving with this perfect love? Are you loving with this sincere love? Are you loving in this sensitive love that loves everyone? Even those despicable or miserable people like me. Verse 9, the prayer of the apostle. It said in Philippians chapter 9, And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. The apostle was constantly praying. Literally, this means, I pray. I am praying. This is a confirmation of what he already mentioned in verse 4 in the same chapter. The example established by the apostle is a guide for every believer in the way that we should pray for others. Constantly praying. Praying. Remember, he's in the prison. And he, instead of praying for his deliverance or to get rid of prison, he's praying for others, for their benefits, for the extension of the gospel, for the confirmation of the gospel, for their love, so they can love others more. This is out of my mind. I mean, I don't know if I'm not able to communicate this, but this is so deep to me. I'm not like that. When I'm in the middle of horrible circumstances, I'm sorry, the last person that I think is about you. I'm praying for me. Oh Lord, give me this. Why I'm having this situation? Look where I am. Are you really God? What's going on? But Paul is in the middle of all this conflict. Not depression, encouragement for others. And he's telling them from in the middle of the prison, guys, love each other. with the perfect love from Christ, from the same, in the same way that Christ loved you and died for you, that in that same way you need to love each other. And you need to be praying, and this is my prayer, and I'm praying today, I'm constantly praying, that your love may abound, may exceed in number of measurement. It's, the idea is something that is in excess, something that is overflowing, to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above certain number of measurement. Love must overflow from every believer. This is the love that the Holy Spirit is poured on us, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And the verb is indicating that this is a continuous action. This love needs to grow every day. My dear brother and sister in Christ, today you need to love me more than the way that you loved me last week. And next week, you need to love me more. I'm sorry, it's tough. I know. It's tough. That's my wife. I know that she can say, oh, sometimes it's not really easy to love that guy. But every day, my love for you needs to grow. Continuous action. It's not amazing. It is that kind of love that the world is trying to project in movies and TV shows. If the person that you're loving, if he is treating you unkindly, stop loving her. Love you more. Grow more. Overflowing. The love that the apostle is describing is registered in other writings. We are not going there, but you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 if you want to understand what really love is. The love is overflowing to other believers as a result of a real Christian lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 10:24. This love is the characteristic and contrast in the believers. And this is something that I need to point really seriously this morning. The believer is nothing without love. My dear brother and sister, you can have all the knowledge from the whole world. You can know this book better than anyone else in this room and in the world and in the States. You can be the greatest preacher in the whole world. But if you don't love, the Bible said that you are nothing. The first characteristic of this love, with knowledge. The idea of this word, it's a super knowledge, not something weird and mystic and from other world. This means a superior knowledge, a precise, a correct knowledge. This knowledge is especially to explore more the love of God for the believer, imperfect and unworthy of it. This understanding of God's love for the believer will help us to love those imperfect believers. The idea of with knowledge is that you need to understand what really is the love of God for others, for me, and that kind of knowledge is going to help you to love me in an easy way. But I like the second characteristic of this love. It's with an old discernment, judgment. The meaning of this word is perception, not only by senses, but with the intellect, cognition and discernment of moral discernment in ethical manners. It has to do with the power of discernment that captures the sense of things. As a believer, God is calling us to not to have a blind love towards transgressions or faults for the beloved ones. We are called to point those mistakes, correct them, but with love. Like I said, the love in the scripture is not that love that is going to accept sin, that is going to rejoice in sin. No, that's not the love. That's what he's talking here. This kind of love, when you understand, yes, is going to go to correct, but with love. I think one of the areas that we are lacking more in the churches is the how to restore a believer that falls in sin. At least in my culture, this is what happened. Someone sinned, okay, 2 years out of any kind of service, and you sit in the back seat of the chair. And don't talk to anyone, because you're a sinner. I think, I don't know if that happens here, but that's my culture. The one that members are the ones that we never help. And we let them die. And then they go away from the church and say, oh yeah, he wasn't a believer. We didn't show love. We didn't correct with love their mistakes. That's what he's talking here. Yes, I mean, I'm going to do wrong things here. Maybe you're going to correct my little meditation this morning. Yeah, do it. Do it with love. I need to learn. But sometimes we're just really easy to judge and to condemn the believers. And I always like to see that example of Jesus when he went to Peter. Man, Peter really messed it up, right? In a really horrible way. It's an example. If I was the Lord Jesus, I was, okay, Peter, come here. Let's go. We're going to talk. You and me, let's in private. Okay, what you did 3 times? Okay. I need to punish you like at least 60 years and get out of here. But what Jesus did? Peter, do you love me? And you know Peter is like this personality that sometimes he didn't think when he was talking. Yes, I love you. And Peter, calm down. Do you love me? Do you love me? And you can see that he didn't understand everything, because you remember at the last, and John, why he's here? You remember that? After Jesus tell him and forgive him and he told him that he's going to do great things for him, he's still Peter. John is here. And Jesus said, if I want him to be with me, you follow me. Don't worry about him. But that's the way that we need to restore sin. 3 times. And I don't know, you can study in your own. Why 3 times? Some people say it's because he denied him 3 times. I don't think that's the idea. I'm not going to tell you what is my idea, but why Jesus mentioned 3 times, you love me, you love me, you love me. I'm not going to tell you what I think, but just think about it. I don't think it's that because he denied him 3 times. It's something even deeper. But that's the kind of love. The love that Paul wants is reason. And it can be exercised in a biblical way. The indulgent love brings pain and harm rather than benefit. Love must be applied and exercised with knowledge of the many different circumstances in life. So to finish this little meditation, my question is, brother and sister, are you loving me? Are you loving each other in a biblical way? The apostle is teaching us this morning what really is to love others. The apostle has the freedom to put God as a witness to express that he was loving all the Philippians in a deep and real way. We need to be really careful that we are not selective in our relationships, and we are called and qualified to love every member, even those unworthy and miserable in the family of God. If you are a true believer, you don't have an excuse to not love others. God has enabled you with the power and the resources to love. Our love for others should be abounding more and more every day. This is a continuous action. If you are a true believer, you can't stop loving.
Wow.
How deep is that? We need to love with knowledge. And this knowledge is that one that is going to help us to understand how deep and how amazed and how unique is God's love for others. So with this knowledge, we'll be able to love others. And then we'll be able to use discernment. And this means sometimes we will need to correct something that is wrong, but never to judge, but to help and to restore. My dear brother and sister, now we have the time that we can pray for others. Now we will have a time that we can express our love for others. But I really want to challenge you, my dear brother and sister. We in this church, we love knowledge. And we have great teachers. And I'm really blessed for their testimony. And I hope someday I can preach the word in the way that they do it. But you know what? The world, they don't need that knowledge. They need to see Christ. They need to see the love of Christ in you and me. The world need to come here and see that we love each other. Yeah, we need. I need to say, I love knowledge. God sent me 4 years to Bible Institute for a reason, not for a vacation or for a Bible camp, I guess. But don't get confused this morning, brother. Don't love too much the knowledge to the point that the knowledge can be a god, and that you can be, I'm better than the rest. Love. Love, love in the way that Jesus loved others. He corrected mistakes, no? But he expressed the love, dying in a cross for sinners, for enemies, for people that hate him, reject him, to provide salvation for you and me. What amazing love, right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to meditate in your word and in the love of the apostle for the Philippians. I need to confess that I'm not loving in that way. I can't put you as my witness in front of a group of people that I'm loving you, loving others in the way that you asked me to. Help me to follow that example. Help me to be committed to grow my love for everyone in this church every day, for other believers around the world and that missionaries, for everyone. Help me to be known that I'm loving others in the way that you asked me to, with this sincere love and the way that Jesus and the way that you show your love for sinners, for enemies of you, and help us to understand that we don't have any excuse. The love of God has been poured in our hearts, so we can love each other in this way. There is no one, unless we are not a real believer, that can't love this morning. Help us to put this in practice. Help us, and maybe if we are recognizing that we are not loving each other, help us also to be humble this morning and ask forgiveness. Go to talk to a brother and sister that maybe we didn't show the love of God in our talks, in our conversation, and the way that we act to each other. And help us to remember that we are here, and the people and the world is going to know us, that we are believers, when they see the love that we have for each other. Help us, and help us to be committed to prayer, and not just in prayer meetings, in our houses. Help us to pray for each other in our weekdays, and help us to love in the way that Paul loves. I'm praying all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.